Okay, we are looking forward to having a wonderful prayer from our Deacon Sullivan this morning, starting us off.
Lord God, we thank you for this beautiful weather as summer's coming to an end. Father, we praise you for your seasons, and we ask that you bless us with a nice Indian summer, Lord, that would really work well for a lot of us. We ask a special prayer for the folks in North and South Carolina that are suffering from the rain, from the hurricane, Lord. We ask that you watch over them. Again, we thank you for loving us and saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wonderful prayer. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise forever. God is faithful, forever. God is just, forever. God is with us, forever and ever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God we'll carry on, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. I'm trading my sorrows, my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now you know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word, I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor men's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, oh now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Well, on this September 16th, 2018 A.D., I want to read you an interesting story. This is called Pet Clones on the Threshold of Cloning Humans. God created man in His image. Are we on the verge of man making man in his own image? The latest issue of Vanity Fair has an article on what may be the ultimate form of conspicuous consumption, cloning your dead pets, specifically dogs. Most Americans were unaware such a thing was possible, never mind commonplace, until Barbara Streisand mentioned it in passing during an interview with Variety magazine that her two current dogs were clones of her dog Samantha, who died last year. As Streisand later explained in the New York Times, every time I look at the faces of Samantha's clones, I think of my Samantha and smile. Streisand isn't the only person who has cloned her dead pet. when the Vanity Fair article calls dog cloning very big and very controversial, it's correct on both counts. Take, for instance, the Suam Biotech Research Foundation in Seoul, Korea. In the last 10 years, Suam has produced more than 1,000 clones of deceased dogs. As you may have guessed, dog cloning is very expensive. The cost runs between $50,000 to $100,000 per birth, and the clientele mostly reflects its superstar divas, Middle Eastern royalty, and the billionaire founder of Phoenix University, to name but a few. Suam's founder is Hwang Woo-suk. In 2004, he claimed to have successfully cloned a human embryo. His claim was later shown to be a spectacular hoax, and he was sentenced to 2 years in prison. He escaped actually serving time because the judge ruled that he has truly repented of his crime. Perhaps he did. What's clear is Hwang hasn't lost any enthusiasm for cloning. While he insists that here in Suam we are steadfastly against human cloning, he insists that animal cloning ethics and human cloning ethics have completely different values. He adds that animal cloning can bring us benefits and help us contribute socially. Many ethicists disagree. They cite the pain and suffering involved in producing a single canine clone. Such a potentially dangerous hormone treatments and genetic abnormalities, this exceeds the suffering in natural reproduction. Then there's the elephant in the room, human cloning. Earlier this year, scientists in China announced that they had created two cloned monkeys using the same technique used to create Dolly the sheep 2 decades ago. The head researcher at Suam told Vanity Fair that these monkeys are very close to us genetically, which meant you should be able to clone a human being. The head of stem cell research at Boston's Children's Hospital told The Times, "We are closer to humans than we ever have before. That raises questions of where we would want to go. Assuming the technical obstacles can be overcome, the answer should be obvious. If people are willing to pay $50,000 to $100,000 to assuage their pain over losing a pet, imagine what they would be willing to pay when they talk about family members and loved ones. As Vanity Fair put it, if distraught parents think a clone would resemble 85% of their child's appearance and personality, it's only a matter of time until pressure will inexorably mount to give it a shot. If there's enough demand, the market will do its best to respond." And that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is something akin to Kazuo Ishiguro's novel, Never Let Me Go, where clones are created to provide their owners with spare parts. If this sounds like science fiction to you, so did cloning your pets until recently. So that's a strange story, isn't it? It's pretty scary, but it's not unusual to think of things that are going on in the world today. I also want to mention to you that tomorrow is Citizenship Day. It's also the 231st anniversary of our Constitution. So keep that in mind. We are at heart and soul friends to the freedom of press. It is, however, the prostituted companion of liberty, and somehow or other, we know not how, its efficient auxiliary. It follows the substance like its shade. But while a man walks erect, he may observe that his shadow is almost always in the dirt. Fisher Ames, 1807. What you do speaks so loud, I cannot hear what you say. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. The state, both in its Genesis, and by its primary intention, is purely antisocial. It is not based on the idea of natural rights, but on the idea that the individual has no rights except those that the state may provisionally grant him. It has always made justice costly and difficult of access, and has invariably held itself above justice and common morality whenever it could advantage itself by doing so. That was said by Albert J. Nock, who is an American libertarian author, educational theorist, a Georgist, and a social critic, 1870 to 1945. Equal and exact justice to all men of whatever persuasion, religious or political, Thomas Jefferson, 1801. It takes many years to become an instant success. Yeah. The most oppressive feat the left has accomplished is convincing millions of people that decapitating a child inside the womb is worthy of celebration. That alone should teach us to never underestimate the power of a lie and the willingness of ignorant people to believe it. Do you know that 10 of the 12 presidents of Harvard University prior to the Revolutionary War were ministers? 50% of the 17th century Harvard graduates became ministers. Harvard College was founded in Christi Gloriam. As its founders believe, all knowledge without Christ was vain. In 1692, the motto of Harvard was Veritas Christo Ecclesiae, truth for Christ and the Church. The word Veritas on the college seal referenced divine truth, and was embedded on a shield, which can be found on Memorial Church, Widener Library, and numerous Harvard Yard dorms. I did a documentary there quite a number of years ago, still available up on YouTube, being at all those gates and showing those different things. And I'm saying, if John Harvard was alive to see this, the school named after him, he would be literally shocked. And of course, we want to, as our Deacon Sullivan opened us in prayer, we want to be reminding people, and as the Lord leads, we pray this, for wisdom for the president as he meets with officials to coordinate a response to the damage caused by the storm in the Carolinas, and for safety and courage for the thousands of servicemen and women that are risking their lives in response. For FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, state and local departments as they work to help those in need, and for grace for those whose lives have been disrupted. That's for sure, many lives have been disrupted, and of course I watched an interview with the head of FEMA. And he said, you know, it's like the four legs of a chair. One leg is the federal government, FEMA. Another leg is the state government. Another is the county government. And the fourth leg is the non-GOs, in other words, non-government agencies that come along and help. And I understand that there's quite a convoy of those that are helping, but they have to get permission to get in there, because a lot of people come in and cause more trouble than they are help. And of course, food and water. And I also read this week something very disturbing. People criticized President Trump, a lot of criticisms of President Trump these days, of course, that he didn't do anything for the people of Puerto Rico, when in fact a million bottles of water are sitting on the tarmac in one of the airports in Puerto Rico for the last year and have never been touched. And it was, of course, President Trump that made sure that water got down there. So we're praying for him today as he's reviewing all that's going on there in the Carolinas. Well, if you'll take your Bible in hand, please, and you're going to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there are 31 verses. So, we'll all read 4. Somebody will read.
I'll read 8.
Yeah.
Or somebody will read 7.
I'll read 7, and the rest of you can read the 8. And let's start with you, Deacon Sullivan, and go around the room that way.
All right. You said 1 Corinthians chapter 1?
Yes.
From the English Standard Version, verses 1 through 8. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was 1 Corinthians from the ESV, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
I'm reading from English Standard Version, Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by close people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you are baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9-16.
Good job, Sean. Now I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, from the English Standard Version also. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. And I'll stop reading there. That stopped at verse 21. And pass it on to Miss Kathy.
Okay, so for 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 22. From the English Standard Version. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 31 from the English Standard Version.
Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Holy Spirit, we expect you to be our teacher. Not only do we expect that, we need you to be our teacher. Well, I believe when I awoke this morning, the Lord gave me as a theme for us today, advise and consent. Advise and consent. And of course, you may be familiar with the fact that that's also a medical terminology, you might say, that a lot of times, and I've certainly gone through this with doctors, will say, okay, I've advised you. Thank you very much for your advice, or now that you've advised me, given me advice, I don't consent, or I do consent. And so it brings out the nature of God to think that, first of all, that our God does not force us into anything, even though we do have the Ten Commandments, and they're not the Ten Suggestions. But you're not forced to obey the Ten Commandments. The Lord doesn't force us to accept him. The Lord doesn't force us to be baptized or any of those such things. He advises us to do those things, and it's certainly wise of us to consent. And I often point out to you that when you have opportunity to pray, which these days there's much to talk about there, how in Arkansas, I believe it was, students were told that they couldn't pray at the football game, and they had actually put something out on the field, and they were told to take it off the field, and they refused to do it. They said, no, we won't. So there is something that the news media is not reporting. Of course, lots of things that they're reporting in a wrong fashion that aren't exactly true, and you got to read between the lines. But there's things happening in our country that people are realizing, saying, I've had enough. I'm going to listen to what God said. And of course, now with the Hurricane Florence, I saw some pictures down there where people had taken plywood and put it over windows and had put, we pray that Florence goes away. So there are a lot of people praying across the country. And sometimes it takes a disaster like that to bring us together. But if you want a good invocation, verse 3 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. And of course, there's a pretty well-known program on Christian radio called Grace to You. And it's a wonderful thing, grace to you, to be graceful, to have grace given. Of course, grace is unmerited favor with God. Now, in here, and people might read in this chapter of Scripture, that Paul is saying, as he is considered to be the person the Holy Spirit used to write this portion of Scripture, in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. O Lord, let it be. Wouldn't it just be wonderful if we had that kind of agreement? And so the issue, once again, is God advises us, has given us advice, and we need to consent. And of course, if we're going to have agreement with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's going to come not through our own human intervention, but through the fact that we've taken the advice that God has given us and we have consented to it. So all of us are joined, as some people like to use the terminology, are we on the same page? That's important. Are we in the same cause? And of course, right now, what's happening with Hurricane Florence and affecting all the coast there from Virginia, West Virginia, and inland into Kentucky and into Tennessee and so forth, and the western parts of South Carolina and North Carolina, all those kind of places. They're in agreement right now. There's no doubt about it. They're agreed that they need to be protected from the hurricane. They need help. And of course, there's all kind of people, as we remember to pray for the service people. And of course, the National Guard has been dispatched to help out. And of course, I suppose, in a sense, just like we saw with Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, there'll be people out there looting and people out there stealing and causing problems to all kind of people. So the issue here, and the Lord also has pointed out that Paul said, I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I did not know whether I baptized anyone else. Because the issue, of course, people are very partisan about it. And of course, this week in the primaries here in New Hampshire, very partisan kind of situation. Some people just aren't going to consider anyone who's from another party, even if they're better than the one that's running for their party. And of course, the head-to-head conflict that comes along there. What is it that's going to bring us together? I mean, as a nation, what will bring us together is the assault of other countries against us, and we can be sure that that's happening. We also know that there are other things that can bring us together, even as in the church. When the church is under assault, and the church is under assault worldwide, and particularly even in this country, I mean, obviously, you can say Muslim prayers, you can say Hindu prayers, but at some places, but do not say anything Christian. But there are people that are rebelling against that for good reason. And so we're going to be having certain things. I mean, it's today, as peaceful as it is in New Hampshire and sunny, to think that other parts of this country are in great tribulation, or for example, in Turkey, and Turkey is becoming more of an Islamic regime than ever before. And Turkey is also, I mean, their history is not good anyway, but their Prime Minister Erdogan has said they've got a Christian pastor there named Pastor Brunson, and they're not going to let him go. So President Bush is actually negotiating to get him, not President Bush, President Trump. President Trump is negotiating to get him released. And Erdogan is saying, no, I won't release him. And so here we have, because he's a Christian in that country. So the idea, of course, that peaceful Islam, in which, and if you've read anything by Brigitte Gabriel, who's originally from Lebanon, and she's written a book saying that the statistics with what, for example, President Obama once said, 99.9% of the Islamic people are peaceful. She said it's true that not all people of Islamic faith are violent, but a good percentage are. And they're here. They're already here. They've set up their cells throughout the country. They're all over Washington, D.C., as she says, and she spends a lot of time with that. So, and we know that the enemies are within the gates, just like they were in old Rome, when the Romans opened their gates up and all kind of enemies came in and destroyed the empire. So with us, what will bring us together is to listen to the Lord's advice and consent to it. Lord, you don't have to force me into being baptized. I want to be baptized. And of course, Paul is saying here, you know, I don't want people going around saying, I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Apollos, I was baptized by this one, and making a sectarian statement in that that's going to divide us. No, we're baptized in Christ. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. This is happening. And many people, of course, aren't really paying attention to it because they're being deceived by the wicked one in many different ways. I read an article, it was interesting how people in the news, it was actually the New York Times, which of course is most prominent paper in the world. New York Times criticized Nikki Haley because she lived in an apartment that's $58,000 a month, and that she had draperies that were $55,000. And of course, they had to retract it because the truth of the matter was she didn't rent the apartment, she didn't buy the draperies. That was all approved by President Obama for the UN representative of the United States. And of course, the UN rep is now Nikki Haley, but she's not the one that ordered all that stuff, and she's not the one that was, set it up. So the news media gets that because they slander who they want to slander, just like in the quips and quotes portion of what I said from Fisher Ames. I mean, you need a free press. That's true, but the press isn't very free anymore, is it? So if we look down, for example, at verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That should be a great comfort to us, I would suggest, because we've been asked to trust in, just like reading about the cloning, we've been asked to trust in man's ability to see what's right and what's wrong, and man's ability to be wise. And of course, the Lord is saying the foolishness of God, and God's not foolish, but it's just a metaphor, you might say, or to polarize the thing, the foolishness of God. Think about the wisest person who's lived on earth, which at one time was Solomon. His wisdom, which was noteworthy, wasn't even close to God's wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon was foolishness compared to God. And of course, God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Okay, think about the strongest men you've ever known, or the strongest men we have. And as strong as they are, God, if he were weak, and once again, this is just sort of a metaphor, or, you know, a hyperbole, I think the proper terminology, a hyperbole. The weakness of God is stronger than men. So once again, we've been given advice by God, and we need to consent to it. And when we consent to the advice the Lord has given us, we're going to be stronger and we're going to be wiser than the world. And Lord knows in this particular situation, climate that we live in right now, We need the wisdom of God. We need the strength of God. You know, people take things for granted so often. Well, right now, if you were living in North Carolina, and I guess there have been quite a few people have died there. And of course, the news here of in Massachusetts of the explosion of gas lines out around North Andover and places like that, which is a very ritzy neighborhood. All those kind of things, people say, well, what is going on? What is happening? I mean, and flooding that's happening down there and many other places, people would say, okay, we really need the wisdom of the Lord to straighten these things out because man can't figure it out. And as much as I appreciate the agencies that are working hard and you know, risking their own lives and everything, the people in those agencies to help other people, it's still not enough. Because, and this is why people are getting together and praying and saying, okay, what does the Lord want us to do? And of course, the Lord is going to say, I've advised you. It's in my word. Read it. I've advised you, and you need to consent to my advice. Now, being a parent, most parents realize they advise their kids, but they can't force their kids into doing things. They can compel them, if you will, when they're under the legal age of consent, you might say, or age of maturation, whatever, emancipated people. But they advise them, you know, and you can say, well, I gave him the right advice, he didn't take it. Or I gave her the right advice, she didn't take it. I can certainly say that about my family, my children, who would say, you told me, Dad, you did advise me, but I didn't do it, and I wish I had. Now I'm seeing it better. Well, our Heavenly Father looks at us and says, I've given you the advice, when are you going to consent to it and do things my way? Because if you do things my way, you're going to get my results. And of course, as we look at the end of the chapter, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So none of us are going to go before the Lord and say, Lord, look what I did. I figured that out. And I can tell you this week, working on a few things that I was working on, and it wasn't coming together quite so well. And so I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, I really need your direction here. I need to have you help me to do this. Instead of saying, oh, I can do this myself. I don't need any help. Of course, the older I get, the more I realize not only because I'm not the strong physical person I once was. From a mental standpoint, I mean, I do pretty well there, but even that sometimes is not what it could be or should be. But the Lord is always strong, and he's always there. He's always protecting us. And he's always looking for us to look to him and hear his advice and take it and consent. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, I know I am confessing that I need your help 24/7. It's not to say, Lord, I'm only needing your help once in a while, so spend the rest of your time helping somebody else. No, I need your help all the time. Not just in physical healing, but in direction and decisions that have to be made. Also in relationships with people. We know that everyone, an awful lot of cantankerous people. Like the dream that I had last night about a couple of twin men who were very grumpy old men, and I said, why are you so grumpy? Why are you so cantankerous? There's a lot of people like that. A lot of people out there that are angry. There's a lot of people that are frustrated. A lot of people aren't listening to reason. And they're just going to go about and do what they're going to do. We know what that leads to. So, Lord, we do want to lift up the needs of the people that are suffering through these hurricanes and whatever else. And even when this hurricane passes and things are repaired, that people will still remember, without you, they're nothing. And that if we're going to boast, our boast is this: I know the Lord, and the Lord knows me. And the Lord has given me advice, and I've consented to it. And this we pray, as always, in the name of our Lord and Savior, and as our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.